Welcome to the Follow the Spirit podcast, where we discuss each week what we're studying at Women Inseparable. Here's Jacqueline and her guests.
Welcome to our Women Inseparable podcast, where we follow the Spirit in every word that we say. We are together. We are ready to jump right in, like excessively ready to jump right in on this brilliant word called obey. We're doing a study on worship, what our heart of worship looks like between us and our God, intimately, individually, personally. We're going to talk about obey, and we're ready. Let's go.
Let's go.
Now there's no words. Okay, there were words before the introduction.
Just let him flow.
Okay, Ruha Kodadesh. Mm-hmm. Am I saying that word right?
I have no idea.
Excuse me, what is it?
It's the Holy Spirit.
The Jewish name.
Yes, gotcha. The Hebrew. Yeah.
Gotcha. So, I don't know. I was just reading last night, and I was just getting those waves over me, because it was about Peter. And, you know, Well, like what you were teaching about, the word mixed with the spirit, it's powerful. So I don't know, when I was in my quiet time, I could feel it. I could feel it coming over me, and he's teaching me something about the word mixed with the spirit.
Where were you in Peter?
I was in Acts 10, when the... 1040.
With Cornelius?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I'm trying to remember the story right now. Mm-hmm. I can't remember. I'm stage fright.
Was Cornelius the king?
Mm-mm.
No.
No. Who is Cornelius, Marcy?
Was he a centurion?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
He was an unsaved centurion.
Okay.
Was Cornelius. Let's go to Acts 10.
Okay.
So we're in Acts 10, verse 1. Let's just start at the beginning of this chapter. It says, in Caesarea, there was a man named Cornelius. He was a centurion of what was known as the Italian cohort. So high in position, a devout man. So we know his personality, who feared God. We know where he was with God. His whole household had a fear of God. So we know his leadership within his home. This man, Cornelius, gave alms generously to the people. So we know his heart. And he prayed continually to God. So we know his steadfastness. We know a lot about this man. This is Cornelius. About the ninth hour of the day, he saw clearly in a vision an angel of God come in and say to him, Cornelius. Don't you love the power of your name spoken so clearly? And he stared at him in terror and said, what is it, Lord? And he said to him, your prayers and your alms have been ascended as a memorial before God. And now send men to Joppa and bring one Simon, who is called Peter. He is lodging with one Simon, a tanner, whose house is by the sea. When the angel who spoke to him had departed, Cornelius called two of his servants and a devout soldier from among those who attended him. And having related everything to them, he sent them to Joppa. We are talking about obedience, right? This is where we are with the heart of worship. Here's Cornelius, who has a heart of worship. We see that in verse 1. We see that in verse 2, exactly who he is between he and his God. And his relationship with God was so intimate and so steadfast, so much so that his soldiers knew where he stood, his household knew where he stood, and they all followed Cornelius. Almost as if Cornelius was following God. Like you hear Paul, right? Follow me as I'm following God. And it kind of feels like that same father of the faith with Cornelius. Cornelius was not a Jew. That's one thing we know about him. Peter, who was a strong Jew, and if you read more in Acts 10, we see what's going on with Peter's heart. Peter was a Jew by birth and a follower of Christ by decision, by being chosen by God. So we've got Peter, who stood firm in the Jewish way. So Old Testament says you stay among the Jews, right? And when Jesus left, he told Peter and the disciples, you are disciples to the Jew, right? So Peter is sitting here with the Jew, with the Jew, with the Jew, with the Jew, knowing that anything outside of that was unclean, mm-hmm. according to Old Testament law.
Right.
So here is Cornelius, who exists in the realm of the quote-unquote unclean, but with a devout relationship with God. Isn't that interesting? Mm-hmm. So if you read through Acts 10, you see Peter having his encounter with God. And God's encounter with Peter was, you are being beckoned by the Holy Spirit through Cornelius to come and have Christian conversation with Cornelius, with his household, and with his people. Peter, I want you to go to the unclean. This is what's happening. And when we are talking about obedience and what obedience looks like, it has nothing to do with another human. This was between Peter and this was between God. Mm-hmm. God is saying, Peter, I need you to go conquer the one thing that you have not let go of.
Ooh. Mm-hmm.
That's what happens in Acts 10.
And then after that,
mm-hmm.
then the Holy Spirit fell on the Gentiles.
Yes.
It opened the door, right?
Opened the door.
Yeah.
This is when the Holy Spirit came to the non-Jew. Was in Acts 10, because Peter looked at God and said yes, even to the thing that he religiously could not comprehend. He put God before his religious belief.
I think that speaks to when the Spirit's talking to us and we're like, what? Why would I do that? That makes no sense at all. Where did that thought come from?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And that's an example of that for right. Peter. This right. would be like, are you kidding me? What? Mm-hmm. That doesn't even make sense to me.
Mm-hmm. Because that's against my personal standard.
Right.
God, here's what my Christian life looks like. God, if I do what you just put on my heart to do, that's against my own conviction. That's against my standard. What will others think? Right. What will I think of myself? And God's like, will you stop thinking about you? And say yes to me.
I made a face. Like,
the argument sometimes with this discussion is, well, what if the Lord tells you to do sin? Okay.
Right.
Have that conversation all you want. Mm-hmm. But when is God ever going to say, I have something for you to do, and it's going to be against the word of God? The answer to that is never.
Right.
God is never going to say, I need you to do something that it is against my very son, Jesus Christ.
He can't.
He can't. Uh-uh. Yeah.
But we can go hang out with. We're called to.
Uh-huh.
It's a Christian no-brainer, but.
But then, is it?
Yeah.
Is it a Christian no-brainer? Or does God say, I need you to go have lunch with that person. I need to go have coffee with that person. I need you to go have a glass of wine with that person. And you're like, but God, I have a conviction against that. Mm-hmm. But God, yeah, I need to live above reproach. But God, don't you know what I'm supposed to do as a good Christian? And the Lord's mm-hmm. like, but that person needs to know that you're real. And that you're accessible and that you're attainable so that you can, in comfort, talk about the name of Jesus Christ. Oh, okay. But what are other people going to think of me? What is that to you? Mm-hmm. You follow me. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. Okay, Spirit, help me with these words. I think when you're put in that situation, that you go into the world of sin to speak to those so that they can see the truth, you have to be very careful that you are fully armed, because it's simple to, oh, let me do this with them so that they can relate to me, mm-hmm. so that then I can speak truth to them. Because mm-hmm. I belonged to a Christian motorcycle group. And there was another Christian motorcycle group that they're like, okay, you know what? We're going to go hang out at the bars because that's where the sinners are, mm-hmm. which is fine and great. Mm-hmm. But as Christians, we're supposed to set ourselves apart. They're mm-hmm. supposed to see us living in that truth. Mm-hmm. And I don't want to say this like I'm judging them, mm-hmm. but I think their hearts were they got lost in it because they were doing the same things as those sinners. So they weren't truly setting themselves apart.
Right. Right.
So they probably started out as, yes, Lord, I will go there and do this.
Right.
But then they weren't fully armed to do it properly.
They lost their heart of worship.
Yes.
You said they probably started with the right heart.
Right.
And then they lost their heart of worship.
Yeah.
So that's where the difference sits.
Right.
To obey without the heart of worship is going to become you doing a Christian thing or right. you doing something in your flesh.
Right.
And the Spirit's like, you're doing this. I'm here. I'm here. Why are you forgetting about me? Don't do this without me. I'm the one who's going to take you in there. And just because I take you in there on a Tuesday in 2020 doesn't mean I'm ever going to take you in there again. This is not your normal Friday habit. This is because I need you to go into this one place and talk to this one person for this one situation. And now you go back to your standards and you go back to your normalcy. Follow me. Don't do your own thing.
And I think that can, and I had that example of a motorcycle, but it could be anything. If God says, Gail, I want you to go speak to this person and give them these words. And I go do that. And then if I get all full of myself, like, oh, look what I just did, you know, then again, that's not the heart of worship and saying, thank you, God.
Right.
Thank you, God, for giving me the opportunity to serve you.
Right.
I turned it into myself instead of into him.
Right.
So it's a
and
it's
it gets a gross
balancing act.
It's an every
focus.
It's every heartbeat.
Yeah.
Every heartbeat. Stay focused.
Yeah.
And then on the same token, if you have those words that say, God's like, I want you to give those words to Rena.
Mm-hmm.
And you gave those words to Rena and you're like, oh, that worked. That was so good. So you give those same exact words to Marcy. And Marcy's like, oh, okay. And you're like, wait, why didn't it work? Because the first time was led by the Spirit. The next time was led by your flesh.
And that just happened to me recently. It's funny that you said that because that's exactly what happened to me. Mm-hmm. God was giving me these words that were filling me up like crazy. And I was talking to a woman at church and she says, I asked her, you know, how can I pray for you? And so I'm like, here, take these words. Cause they were the words that God gave me and they helped me. Uh-huh. And I haven't seen her since. I think I scared her away.
I don't quite get what you mean.
About?
Well, how you felt like you were speaking with the right way, and then it didn't work. So when you say you scared her away, can you tell me what you, not exactly what you said, but how it was different?
Mm. All right.
Good question.
So that is a good question, and I don't know. I guess because the words worked so well for me, I wanted to impart that on her. But it wasn't necessarily him saying to me, give these words to her.
Mm-hmm.
So then the next Sunday, she didn't come sit behind me like she always does. So I'm thinking that maybe she's like, who is that crazy woman? Because I hardly know her. It's not like I know this woman. So who is this crazy woman giving me these scriptures, right? So I don't know. I don't even know what that has to do with anything we're talking about.
About following the Spirit. It's all about following the Spirit with our words, which is so important. Peter had words that he had to give to Cornelius. But those words that Peter was told to give to Cornelius, if he said that to other people, would have been offensive and rude and out of line. You have to use the words that God has given you to use for that particular person. And to know what words to say to whom is so only done through the heart of worship. Mm-hmm. Either that, my comparison to your question or my answer to your question would be, and I'm new to the world of plants. I had a girlfriend gift me a plant in the mail a couple years ago. I didn't know that was even a possibility, that you could send life through the mail. But I got this gift of a pot, a little yellow pot with a little plant. And I laughed and I mourned and I sighed a little bit and I took a picture and sent it to my girlfriend. I'm like, what did you just do to me? Why do I have to keep this thing alive? And I was really sick at the time. And she's like, you need life in your home. So she sent me a gift of life, which is super, super sweet. 2 years later, I now have 12 living plants in my house. That's by the grace of God. So I thank Kelly and I, you know, credit her fully for this. Sometimes we get a plant and I've learned that if you overwater the plant, it'll die. When we give the words that helped us in our season of growth, and they were so good, the Holy Spirit gave us for our growth, and we give them to somebody else and they're not ready for that moment of growth, we're overwatering that plant.
Oh, that's good.
Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. Good clarification. Thank you.
Thanks. Yeah.
This is, you know, if you have plant questions, just ask me.
Well, I was thinking when you were talking about that, I kept hearing about the fresh manna that was giving the Israelites every day. Mm-hmm. So it's an every day we need the fresh manna, word, bread, whatever.
Yes.
In certain moments for certain people.
Mm-hmm. That's very good. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's good.
Yeah, I like thinking of it like that because when you're talking to a person and you're connected to them in that conversation, then God gives you fresh words for them. Mm-hmm. I think that's what you're saying, right?
Right. Mm-hmm.
But I've done it the other way too.
Yeah.
I hope I'll probably do it again because I get so excited.
Right.
And then I'm like, okay, wait a minute. You know?
Yeah.
Can't clobber somebody over the head with it.
Oh, it's so easy to clobber people with words.
Marcy was, before we sat down, she was talking about her basil plant. Mm-hmm. And I said, oh, that reminds me of John 15 about pruning and getting fruit. And I'm thinking, maybe that was inappropriate for the time, you know, because I was relating something that meant something to me, mm-hmm. putting it on you. So is that an example of what not to do?
I don't know, because sometimes there's girlfriend conversation. Mm-hmm. So there's girlfriend conversation. Mm-hmm. And then there's sometimes that even like just that, like mm-hmm. that's part of our normal dialogue.
Okay.
In this room, it's normal for us to throw scripture at each other in conversation. Because you guys are all students of the word. Isn't that awesome? To mm-hmm. be just a natural student of the word. That's such a compliment to have put on us. I absolutely love the strength of scripture among us. So that's normal girlfriend dialogue. But when we're talking to somebody and you are at the time, perhaps Marcy's busy doing the thing and you're saying, well, that reminds me of John 15. That's sweet. That's precious. That's normal. If maybe at the time you're like, well, so according to John 15, verse 7 through verse 9, it's saying this and this and this and this and this. And if you look at this and this and this and this and this, and in the Greek, this and this and this, and you're sharing all of this while Marcy is busy, because we all know Marcy takes care of all of the delicious food that we get to impart on every single week, and she's busy, you know, she's not hearing what you're saying, and you're being a distraction to her work, mm-hmm. then maybe you're sharing too much word. You're so busy being like, let me give you my knowledge. Mm-hmm. That it's not benefiting her walk with the Lord, maybe?
Yeah, taking away. Uh-huh.
But to have normal scripture in your normal girlfriend conversation, that's just the presence of God. Not just, but that is.
Well, I like that. Mm-hmm.
Time to wrap it mm-hmm. already? Mm-hmm. We didn't even talk about James 2.
I don't remember James 2. Oh.
When I was reading, oh, you gave Abraham. Us a choice of Genesis, Joshua, or James. Uh-huh. So there were three choices.
Okay.
And then we were supposed to pick one and share how that's showing that person in the scripture obeying, right?
Right.
Okay. So that's where James comes in.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
James. So what did you choose?
I chose Genesis because Abraham was the person who first impressed me mm-hmm. when I was reading the Bible. Not impressed me, but it showed me what obey meant.
Sure.
And because what Abraham did was exactly what God did by sending us Jesus to me.
Okay.
So that's my interpretation. So I realized what a sacrifice Abraham made, and then it clicked. Oh boy, that's exactly what happened when Jesus was sent here in human form.
I love that. You have any words today?
I also focused on Genesis and Abraham, too. I mean, his story of his faith and obedience just overwhelms me. Mm-hmm. That he had so much faith And he was so obedient that he would go so far to give his only son, just as God gave us Jesus. And it's the same thing Sherry was saying. It's just overwhelming to me that I pray every day that I can have that type of a faith and be obedient as he was.
And what is that type of faith? Where are your eyes so set?
Just on God and his love, you know, that he loves us so much. And as in James, how dare I not love him back that much? Right. And I just want to love him as much as he loves us.
Right. And to quote Sherry, that reminds me of John 15.
Right.
ask what you will, mm-hmm. and I'll give it to you.
Right.
Uh-huh. And then verse 8 says, and my Father will be glorified. So your simple request, and I say simple in quotes, mm-hmm. your simple request of, I just want to love you the way you loved the world, that right. you gave your son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for my sins. That same love, I want to love you. Mm-hmm. Jesus says, I'm going to answer that request, and my Father is going to be glorified through your request.
Yeah,
that's beautiful. Isn't that amazing?
Yeah.
That's faith. That's obedience.
They're just tied together.
They're just tied together.
As in James, what good is your faith if you don't have that obedience mm-hmm. and serve him
right.
in the same way that he's with his love? Mm-hmm. Loving us,
right.
yeah,
right.
Loving him back
with all
my heart and soul.
Mm.
Yeah,
yeah. Beautiful, beautiful. James 2. We're good. We're wrapping it up. We are thankful that you are here with us, having this conversation with us. You are loved. You are held in our prayers. You are covered in the prayer of Jesus Christ. If you need time in prayer, knowing that you are being prayed over, spend time in John 17. Read the very words of your Savior, Jesus Christ, praying over you. You, my friend, are not alone. We are in this together. We are following the Spirit. We are falling in love, showing our heart of worship to the very God who sent his son Jesus to die on the cross for us, to be buried and to rise again, giving us a new life. We have a new life. Mm. Then we get to live that new life right now. Every single right now we get to live. That's amazing. We'll see you next week.